This episode of The Wyatt Files is brought to you by Delete Me. You stand in complete darkness. The house is empty, silent. You check your watch. It's almost time. Blood from your finger falls onto the paper where you've written your name. You light a candle and place everything by the door. At exactly 11:59, you begin knocking. 22 times. The final knock lands at exactly midnight. You open the door, blow out the candle, close the door, and relight the flame. The room changes. The air turns cold. Something moves at the edge of your vision. You hear a whisper. You're not alone. The midnight game has begun. There's no turning back now. You have until 3:33 to survive, but the shadow in the corner has other plans.
Human, thank goodness. Is this line secure?
Not now. I'm watching something important. What's with the mustache?
Yeah, I got an emergency. She knows where I live.
Slow down. Who knows where you live?
Penny, my super fan turned super stalker.
You don't have a stalker.
Oh, really? Then explain this doll of me made of her own hair. And the jar of tears she sent me this morning.
Well, at least it's just tears. It is just tears, right?
This is some fatal attraction level obsession. What if I come home to a pot of boiled beaver?
Well, some problems just solve themselves.
This is serious. She won't be ignored, human.
How did she even find you?
I don't know. But she knows my address, my phone number. This all started after I signed up for angler management classes.
Ah, it sounds like your information is being stolen by data brokers. You need to delete me.
Wait a minute. Is there a sponsor hiding in the bushes?
You betcha. Your personal data is constantly being sold online by data brokers, allowing anyone to purchase your private details and putting you at risk of stalking, harassment, or identity theft. That's where Delete Me can help. Delete Me is a hands-free subscription service that removes your personal information from hundreds of data broker websites. Their team of privacy experts works year-round to keep your data private. Delete Me gets to work immediately, and in just 7 days, you'll see a detailed privacy report showing what personal information they found and removed, including your phone number, address, and other private details. Their monitoring system ensures that your data is removed, repeating removals as needed. And with Delete Me, you're in control. You can make custom removal requests to tailor your privacy protection. I've experienced firsthand how unsettling it can be when strangers know a little too much about you. And using Delete Me helps protect me from these risks. Get 20% off Delete Me consumer plans when you go to joindeleteme.com/thewyfiles and use promo code thewyfiles at checkout, or scan the QR code on the screen.
Perfect! I can finally take off this soup strainer. The glue is making my scales itch. Zoinks! She's here!
How do you know it's her?
I can smell a perfume. She made it herself from my old tank water. She calls it Eau de Morcelet. I have to admit, it smells pretty good. If I don't make it, please scatter my scales at the Bellagio fountain. I've always wanted to be part of a water show.
I'm not gonna...
Oh, and make sure my obituary mentions I was this close to being cast as the Mandalorian. Damn you, Pedro Pascal! Do you have to be in everything?
Humans have always been attracted to rituals that summon the darkness. Bloody Mary appears in your bathroom mirror after saying her name 3 times. Candyman works the same way. Light as a feather, stiff as a board requires chanting to unlock levitation. In the elevator game, you press the buttons in a certain order. The last button is the 5th floor. When the doors open, a woman will enter. It's crucial that you don't look at her, speak to her, or even acknowledge her in any way. She is not human. Then you press the button for the 1st floor. If you did everything right, the elevator will actually go up, not down, and you'll enter a dimension called the Other World. All these rituals have tasks that have to be performed in a specific way, in a specific order. The Midnight Game works the same way. It began centuries ago as an ancient pagan ritual. It wasn't a game then. It was punishment or judgment. The person was placed in a dark room or cave with a single candle for light. The room was then sealed. The elders started knocking. They would knock exactly 22 times. Why 22? Well, many cultures associate 22 with mystical properties. 2 times 11, a master number in numerology. The Hebrew alphabet has 22 letters. The major arcana in tarot contains 22 cards. All symbolize a bridge between worlds, the living and the dead, light and shadow. After the 22nd knock, the accused was left alone with whatever they'd summoned across that bridge. In the morning, the elders unsealed the chamber. Some people were dead, eyes still open in fear. Survivors were in shock, unable to speak. Some people descended into madness, but all reported the same thing. A shadowy figure, not quite human, tortured them with fear and violence. The shadow entity became known as the Midnight Man. The ritual vanished from history until 2010. A post appeared on a paranormal message board with instructions on how to summon the Midnight Man. The user found it in his grandfather's journal, written in faded ink, pages stained with dried blood. The post quickly spread across websites and message boards. The instructions are simple, but you have to be precise. Total darkness, total silence, blood on paper, 22 knocks ending exactly at midnight, and then darkness. You'll know if you follow the steps properly. The air turns cold. The darkness shifts in front of your eyes. The Midnight Man arrives, and he's ready to play. Once you've performed the necessary steps in the right order at exactly the right time, you've summoned the Midnight Man. You've challenged the shadow entity to play the Midnight Game, and he gladly accepts. To win the game, all you have to do is avoid the Midnight Man until 3:33 a.m. and keep your candle lit. That won't be as easy as it sounds. The Midnight Man is going to do everything he can to leave you in complete darkness. Then you're in his world, the shadow world, where all your fears become real. Pay close attention to the temperature. If you feel cold or hear breathing, move. And keep moving. The Midnight Man has found you. But no matter what, keep that candle burning. If it goes out, you have 10 seconds to relight it. If you don't relight your candle in time, you have only one hope, salt. Surround yourself with a circle of salt. Sit and wait until 3:33. If you leave the circle, you lose. If you turn on a light, you lose. Leave the house, fall asleep, use someone else's blood, you lose. The hallucinations come next. Now this is where the Midnight Man shows his true power. He can read your thoughts. He could bring your most terrifying fears to the surface. Fear spiders? You'll be swarmed with stinging tarantulas. Fear drowning? The Midnight Man will hold you underwater, drowning you again and again and again. At sunrise, the Midnight Man retreats to the shadows. If you're able to avoid him, you're safe. But if you didn't, the game continues. The hallucinations follow you into your dreams, turning every fear you have against you. All you can do is go back to sleep and hope the Midnight Man has been satisfied or found another victim. That's where the internet helped. The ritual spread from forums to message boards to social media. Eventually, it landed in college dorms. The Midnight Man had found a new hunting ground, and thousands of students would be his new prey. Online forums are full of Midnight Game accounts at Midnight Man encounters. Real ones. People sharing what happened to them, what they saw, what they felt. One college student posted about her experience on Reddit. Her candle suddenly went out. The room went cold, ice cold. Then she saw him.
I decided to try the midnight game after reading about it online. My roommates were gone for the weekend, so I had the place to myself.
Everything was going fine for the first hour. I kept moving through the house, like the instructions said.
Then, around 1:30 a.m., my candle suddenly went out. The temperature dropped instantly. I mean, I could see my breath.
I fumbled with my lighter, and that's when I saw it. A pure black humanoid figure standing in the darkness. Not just shadow dark,
but like it was absorbing the light around it. I'd never moved so fast in my life.
That the candle lit with shaking hands just under the 10-second mark.
A guy from Portland played with three of his friends. They all heard voices, strange whispering in an ancient language.
About an hour in, my candle flickered. The air felt heavy, like right before a storm.
We heard this whispering, not English, not any language we recognized.
It seemed to come from everywhere and nowhere. And there are these layered voices, some fast, some slow, all overlapping.
Something a lot of the witnesses have in common? They regret playing the game.
Looking back, I shouldn't have tried it alone.
I started in my bedroom, then moved downstairs to the living room. Around 2 a.m., the candle went out. I felt this intense cold wash over me.
My fingers were so numb, I could barely work the lighter. I kept trying, but it was definitely past the 10-second mark.
Then I saw a dark figure standing before me. Not just the shadow, it had form. I completely forgot about the salt. I had horrible nightmares for weeks afterward.
I couldn't sleep without the lights on. My parents didn't believe me, but they didn't see what I saw.
The Midnight Man encounters aren't always the same. Some people hear whispers in languages they don't understand. Some report the room being so cold they could see their breath. Some have nightmares for weeks after. They're all a little different. But all the Midnight Man encounters have one thing in common. They all see the same entity, a shadow. Human-like, but extremely tall and thin. It moves unnaturally, but has its own will. Reports like this exist all over the world and always have. Ancient shadow beings in folklore, modern shadow people sightings. The Midnight Man isn't new. He's just one version of something older, something ancient, something that's been haunting and tormenting humans for a very long time. The Midnight Man isn't unique. Cultures from all over the world have stories about shadow entities. In Newfoundland, the old hag sits on sleepers' chests. Chinese folklore speaks of Gueye Shen, ghost pressing on body. Japanese Kanashibari, bound by invisible forces. Germany has the Schattenwesen, shadow beings. Ancient Egypt's shadow people lived in the realm between life and death. Again, the bridge between two worlds. Scientists at the University of British Columbia studied sensory deprivation effects. They put subjects in dark, silent chambers and monitored their brain functions. After just 45 minutes, most people reported sensing a presence, seeing shadows move, but nothing was there. Or was it? Brain scans showed unusual activity in the parietal lobe. That's the area that processes spatial awareness and perception. The people were seeing something in the darkness. But if nothing was there, why did their brains think there was? We don't see well in the dark, but our awareness heightens. Do you ever get the feeling you're being watched, but nobody's there? Your brain might be detecting something your eyes can't. The 3:33 end time appears in multiple cultures. The witching hour is traditionally 3 a.m. when the veil between worlds is thinnest. Paranormal investigators report increased activity between 3 and 4 a.m. Playing the midnight game has caused environmental changes that have been documented. Temperature drops of 15 to 20 degrees. Electronic equipment fails. Batteries drain suddenly. Now, you might not believe in shadow people, but the U.S. government does. The Department of Defense conducted classified research in the 1970s to study supernatural phenomena and ESP. Project Stargate is the most famous. It's known for its work on remote viewing, and I've covered it many times. But there are references in Stargate to shadow entities in declassified files. The project was officially closed down. Officially. Unofficially, I'm not so sure. Shadow people reports are consistent across continents and cultures throughout human history. First, the feeling of being watched, then hunted. Finally, the figure appears, three-dimensional, not just a flat shadow. They have mass and consciousness and intent, and that intent is evil. Now, I'm speaking from experience. I had a shadow person encounter when I was in my late 30s. It was the scariest thing I'd ever experienced, before or since. And I tell the story in the shadow person episode link below. Not only did I see this entity, I was physically attacked by it. The Midnight Game is designed to attract these entities. And the Midnight Man is always there, waiting between worlds, just on the other side of the door. All you have to do is invite him in. When I started on this episode, I thought the Midnight Game was just another urban legend like Bloody Mary or the Elevator Game. Easy to debunk. Then I realized it's about a shadow entity, and I became afraid. I had a shadow person experience. And there are a few kinds of shadow beings that people report. The Hat Man, the cloaked figure, the child, the red-eyed shadow, and the one that attacked me, the one we talked about from Newfoundland, that one's called the Hag. I remember it vividly. I woke up in the middle of the night, and then I saw her. Not a shadow, the Hag. A decrepit old woman like a witch at the foot of my bed, staring at me, smiling. And not a warm smile, like a predator. Then she climbed in bed on top of me, and I don't want to get into it. You can watch the episode. I tell the story there. So did this experience make me a believer? No. Then what happened? Well, first let's sort out the Midnight Game. The historical claims about ancient pagan punishment, there's no evidence for that. No anthropological records, no historical texts. The earliest mentions of the Midnight Man appear online around 2010, on creepypasta forums like 4chan's Paranormal Board and Reddit's No Sleep. The story did spread quickly. Urban legends used to take years to catch on. Now something like this can go viral in a couple of days. Within a few years, teens everywhere were attempting the ritual. Teenagers are often drawn to games that involve summoning evil. Adolescence is a time for pushing boundaries and taking risks. In the brain, the prefrontal cortex handles decision-making, impulse control, and risk assessment. During adolescence, this part of the brain is still developing. Dump in a bunch of hormones on top of a still mushy brain, and you get thousands of teens knocking on doors at midnight trying to meet the Midnight Man. Now, after that, teens post about their experiences online. They aren't known for their honesty, especially on the internet. This creates a feedback loop of shared details, explaining why accounts sound so similar. But I wasn't a teenager when the Hag attacked me. Shadow people mostly come from adults. Then the experiences are similar. So are shadow people real? Probably not. But our brains can make them feel real. Our brains evolved for one priority, survival. For millions of years, humans weren't the apex predator. We were prey. Our ancestors who detected danger fastest lived longer. They passed those detection systems to us. Your brain has an alarm system called the amygdala. This small, almond-shaped region constantly scans for threats. When it finds something even suspicious, it triggers fear instantly. No waiting for your rational mind to catch up. Fear first, questions later. This is the fight or flight response. And darkness changes everything. Your vision degrades, shapes blur, details vanish. Our brain hates uncertainty, so it fills in the gaps with worst-case scenarios. Anything to get you moving. Your peripheral vision becomes more sensitive to movement in low light. You catch flickers that aren't there. Your brain is trying to detect predators before they detect you. In darkness, your brain creates patterns from random stimuli. This is pareidolia. A shadow becomes a figure. A coat becomes a person. Tell someone about the Midnight Man first, and their brain is actively looking out for it. This isn't weakness. It's your million-year-old survival system functioning exactly as designed. Another trick is the ideomotor effect. Your unconscious mind makes tiny muscle movements you don't notice. These micro movements happen when you expect something to happen, when you expect something to move, like on a Ouija board. Nobody consciously pushes the planchette, but unconscious micro movements make it slide across the board. Everyone swears they didn't move it. And they're being honest. Their conscious minds didn't move it. Their unconscious did. Most shadow person experiences happen when you're drifting off to sleep. While you dream, your motor functions get suppressed. This is sleep paralysis. If you're still awake when this happens, your brain panics. You can't move. It's dark. Your amygdala fires up, and suddenly you're seeing an evil entity. Get moving. A lot of this is connected to sleep. Methamphetamine users report shadow figures after prolonged sleep deprivation. One addict said, "You don't see shadow dogs or shadow birds, you see shadow people." This chemical connection suggests our brains are hardwired to generate these specific forms, forms that we'd consider dangerous. Our brains evolved to keep us alive, not tell us the truth. The Midnight Man feels real because your brain makes him real. Better to see a predator that isn't there than miss one that is. That's why, real or not, you shouldn't play the midnight game. The entity might not be real, but the terror is. And true terror changes you, like it changed me. These type of games prime your mind for fear on an unconscious level. You have fears buried deep down in your mind you don't even know about. Childhood trauma, nightmares, painful, horrible experiences. Your brain tries to protect you by locking these memories away, but they're still there, waiting. So be very careful when you start digging around your unconscious. You might not like what you find. Thanks for listening or watching the Wi-Fi Strip, where I try to get right to the point, right to the story, then right to the truth. But if you want me to expand this into a longer episode with Hecklefish, let me know. And like most topics we cover on the Y-Files, today's was recommended by you. So if there's a story you'd like to see or learn more about, go to theyfiles.com/tips. And if you're watching on YouTube or other video platforms, remember the Y-Files is also a podcast. In fact, stripped episodes are designed to be podcasts where we try to use as much sound and music to immerse you in the story. But if you're listening on a podcast platform, remember there's a video version that contains some images we talked about and other fun visuals. You're not missing any of the story, but the video's there if you'd like to see more. Now, if you need more Y-Files in your life, check out our Discord server. There are thousands of people on there. I think we're over 80,000 members. So 24/7, someone's hanging out, talking about the same weird stuff we do here. It's a great community, really supportive, a lot of fun, and it's free to join. And special thanks to our patrons who made all this happen. They make the Y-Files possible. I dedicate everything I do, every episode, live stream, podcast, everything's dedicated to our Patreon members. All of this is built because of you. So thank you. And if you'd like to keep the channel going and join this great community, join us. Consider becoming a member on Patreon. It's only $3 a month. And you get access to perks like videos and podcasts early with no commercials, special exclusive content, access to merch only available to members, plus two private live streams every week just for you. And those are great. There's only a few people on there. And you get to meet the whole Y-Files team. You turn your camera on, jump up on stage, ask a question, talk about anything you like. It's a chance to get to meet us as people. I think it's the best perk there is. Another great way to support the channel is grab something for the Y-Files store. And I do everything I can to keep the prices as low as possible. And if you've shopped on the store, you know that. You're not going to find any $30, $35 t-shirts, $70 sweatshirts. I don't do that. I don't gouge. The store is not there as a profit center. It's there for fun. But before you shop in the Y-Files store, become a member on YouTube for $3. That gives you 10% off everything in the store forever. And if you want to join for 1 month just to get the coupon code and cancel, that's fine. YouTube membership is meant to save you money, not make me money. In fact, every dollar from YouTube memberships goes to the team. Those are the plugs. They get longer every week. Thanks for bearing with me. I hope you had fun, and I hope you know that me and everyone here at the Y-Files is working really hard for you. So until next time, be safe, be kind, and know that you are appreciated.
Anyway, that's all I've got for today. Go away now.